When Vanderbilt alumni recently toured Vietnam, what they saw was not like the television show China Beach, according to Vanderbilt history professor Thomas Schwartz.
Ho Chi Minh City is thriving. The biggest problem there is the traffic jams. It is a country very similar in a way to China that has developed economically very rapidly. Many people were just very impressed by how Vietnam is. As a number of the participants said to me, it was hard to find signs of the war.
Asia's Highway 1 was the name of this 15-day tour led by Schwartz, who has taught and done extensive research on the Vietnam War.
Vietnam is now becoming a much more accessible travel site for Americans. Over the last 8 to 10 years, it has developed its infrastructure for tourism. It's economically developing. And I think the prospects or the possibilities for touring in Vietnam are so much more, it's so much more possible now to go there in a trip in a way that it wasn't 10 to 15 years ago. So I think part of it is that it has become a more accessible location for Americans. It's welcoming. Financially, it is on almost a dollar economy. Some of the people in our group never even changed money while they were there because American dollars are actually accepted as a second form of currency. So it was actually a fairly easy place for Americans to go.
Were most of the people on the trip old enough to remember all the turbulence and all the different feelings about the Vietnam War?
Well, yes. Most of the people were indeed old enough to remember. In fact, one of the participants had actually served in the United States Army, in fact, in Army intelligence during the war, and had a number of things to add when we had our talks and when I gave my lectures on the war. Another had been very prominent in the anti-war movement, had demonstrated quite frequently against the war. So, in fact, a good number of the people had memories of that time. What was interesting is, though, for a number of the participants was that they would frequently mention they remembered names and issues, but they what going on the trip helped them was putting it into context and remembering some of the issues and being able to see then aspects of that time period again in a new perspective and certainly from a very different vantage point.
Was everyone surprised at how much Vietnam has changed from our image of the 1960s?
Oh, I think really quite startlingly so. Those who did remember this period remembered a sort of images of Vietnamese peasants, of a very rather poor country in Asia. Vietnam today is a mix of all sorts of impressions. You still see farmers in the field in dress with the conical hats similar to what we might remember in the war. But you also see in the cities the most modern of conveniences. We toured several areas where you could see, for example, shell casings or bullet holes in walls and things of that nature. But on the whole, it's very hard to find the Vietnam War now in Vietnam.
Is there no longer this visible division, North and South Vietnam, or do the citizens still refer to their country in those two different ways?
That would be harder to say. I think just from anecdotal, from information and from a couple of conversations along the way, that there's still a pretty strong sense of regional identity in Vietnam. People distinguish themselves from whether you're from the north or south or, in fact, actually from the central area as well. So that still is there. Our tour guide, who was absolutely wonderful, was very much talked about himself as a northerner and understood that and talked about the difficulty, for example, of understanding dialects in other parts of Vietnam where people's regional accents were strong. So I think it's still there. On the other hand, Vietnam, what most Americans probably need to remember or to think is that it's an extraordinarily young country. Almost two-thirds of the population were not born at the time the war ended. You're dealing with a very, very large number of people who have absolutely no memory of what they call the American War and, in fact, have not grown up with very much even with very much knowledge of it. And it is, in that sense, quite startling.
How were you treated as an American there? Did you feel very welcome, like people were really glad that you were visiting?
We felt very welcome. I think we felt that the courtesy and the hospitality of the Vietnamese was extraordinary. I would also say their sense that this was in the past. The war was in the past. In fact, I think almost I made the comment to our group at one point that I thought our guide, who I think was just a genuinely wonderful and nice person, wanted to play down aspects of the war and was quite reluctant when we went to a couple of places. For example, we visited the Cu Chi tunnels in South Vietnam, where the Viet Cong had a tunnel complex outside of Saigon. And we had to watch a propaganda film before we got to go into the tunnels. And the propaganda film was very, very harsh about the United States. It was probably had been made at the time of the war. It referred to people receiving medals for the numbers of Americans they killed. Very, very harsh. And it was clear he was embarrassed by the fact that we had to actually go through this very harsh propaganda film in order to see the exhibits of this particular area. So I think actually the Vietnamese are startling in their own lack of attention to the war or to the memory of the war as a part of any sort of nationalist tradition or dislike for Americans. In fact, they seem extraordinarily welcoming to us.
What were the cities that you ended up visiting?
We started in Hanoi. We went then to the coast to see Ha Long Bay. Then we flew to Hue, which is the old imperial capital, and we got a chance to see Da Nang, which is a base that's very familiar to many Americans. We actually saw China Beach, which some Americans remember was actually the name of a TV series about Vietnam that was on in the late 80s. We went to Hoa An, which is a resort area as well. And then we went down to Saigon, or Ho Chi Minh City, traveled around there and actually went on out into the Mekong River, which was absolutely fascinating to go on a boat along the Mekong. And then after that, we went to Cambodia, to Siem Reap, which is where the city near the Angkor Wat complex of temples. So it was an extraordinary amount to do within about 12 days.
Now, you were there over the presidential election, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you feel like the people in Vietnam, did they support one candidate over the other, or were you able to get any feeling about the public opinion?
It was odd because certainly we were when we were there on election, everyone was, of course, caught up with getting the news. We were actually at a place, one of the places in Vietnam that only had the BBC news. So we were a lot of times we were able to watch CNN, but we watched the BBC. It was clear there was a lot of excitement abroad. Vietnam was a little different. There was certainly interest, but because John McCain has this interesting history with Vietnam, one of the places we visited in Hanoi actually has his flight suit up on the wall, and we had to endure a lecture about how well he had been treated by his captives. Not that we didn't want to press this issue, but he actually, because of his role in bringing about reconciliation between the United States and Vietnam, was actually quite well known among many Vietnamese. So even though I think younger Vietnamese did come up to us and I did hear the name Obama quite frequently, there are a number of older who remember McCain and actually think quite highly of him. So it was probably a little different from other parts of the world.
So how would you describe the United States' current relationship with Vietnam? Is it fairly open now?
Well, it's actually, I think, what's going to be quite fascinating. Vietnam now is selling an enormous amount of goods to the United States. It has moved in the textile market and many other markets. It is a manufacturing powerhouse right now that has been able to take some of China's manufacturing. And the biggest market, one of the biggest markets it has, is the United States. And its progress over the last few years has been fueled by free trade. The free trade agreement was signed in 2000. That was when President Clinton visited, and President Bush visited in 2006. The relationship is actually very good now between the United States and Vietnam. And I do think the current economic crisis will have an impact on Vietnam. And I hope in many respects that it will be very temporary, because Vietnam has made the number of people who've been lifted out of poverty in Vietnam. When I went there in 2008, or 2000, it was the statistics said that about 65% of Vietnam's population lived on about a dollar a day. Over the last 8 years, they've been able to lift a good 30% of that out of what the United Nations normally considers poverty. You can tell this is a country that has made enormous material progress and is moving, and certainly a better life for many, many Vietnamese. And it would be a shame if that is, in some sense, lost by the economic downturn. But a lot of it has been connected to trade with the United States. And I think many Vietnamese would like to see relations with the United States grow even closer.
Do you know if they have many Vietnamese come over here to study?
Not yet. I think there are some, but it is this is something that I think is developing slowly. There's certainly an involvement by many Vietnamese Americans in trying to stimulate educational exchanges. I don't think we're there yet, but it is coming, and I think over time that would be a very useful way to begin a much stronger connection between the two countries. The Vietnamese Americans are now very, very active in Vietnam. There's a very strong connection that many Vietnamese Americans feel to their country, to their home country. Even though I think they serve as a sort of bridge between the two countries, investing in Vietnam and being very active. We saw, for example, a fair number of Catholic churches, and a lot of Catholics did flee communist Vietnam, but a number of them have now gone back, and the government now allows them, for example, to spruce up, to remodel, to modernize their churches. It's clear that conditions in general have gotten better. Vietnam is still a communist country. It's still a police state in some ways. It's still restricts freedom of expression, but I think it's developing in a way and probably will face some of the same challenges as China as it goes along in terms of trying to deal with what will be increasing demands for political change along with economic change. But I think in that sense, I'm one of the reasons I hope for a good connection with the United States is the idea that the United States certainly can encourage those changes.
Does Vietnam have any particular enemies that it needs to be concerned about?
Vietnam was very concerned for a good period of time with China. It went to war with China in 1979, and the issue of its relationship with China was, ironically enough, after the Vietnam War, became its chief enemy. That seems to have subsided substantially. Most Vietnamese told us now that the trading relationship, other relationships are very good with China. On the whole, Vietnam also had problems with Cambodia, but that relationship also seems to be on a much better status now. So actually, Vietnam, I think, has certainly worked toward becoming a more acceptable partner within the whole Southeast Asian community, ASEAN's the trading organization and the rest. So I think for that matter, outside of some issues of religious liberty and political rights, for the most part, there aren't any great issues between the United States and Vietnam now.
Will you be able to use this trip in any way in your teaching and research?
It certainly will affect, I think, my thinking about Vietnam. I came back and I'm still puzzling over this question that I'm not sure how it may influence my thinking about, as I write about the war or teach about the war. But I was thinking that if you were a Rip Van Winkle and fell asleep in 1967 or 68 and woke up in Saigon in 2008, you would probably think that the South had won the war. Vietnam has become so capitalist in sort of its economic orientation, and it has moved away so much from the socialist dreams of Ho Chi Minh and the people who won the war, that this at least makes one wonder what the whole point, the war and all of that suffering, anguish, and all the deaths was about. I'm not sure what that how that will affect me, but it certainly is something to ponder and think about as I try to think about this very what was a very tragic time in our country's history and certainly in Vietnam's history. But it is a I'm hoping certainly that over time we will have connections that will allow a full and complete history of the war with Vietnamese, Americans, and other perspectives integrated in to this history. And that, I think, is a very positive, will be a positive step and something I hope I'll contribute to in my teaching and research.
Reflections of you and me, reflections of